Jeremiah chapter 20 today. Yes, I got a new notebook, if you haven't noticed, and I'm still trying to figure out how to open this thing. But a great part of life is the ability to start new, to start fresh, to start all over, whether it be our actions, our attitude, our hobbies, our habits, and so on. And it's pretty simple. If it's not good for you, stop and do what's good. If it's wrong, stop and do what's right. If it doesn't please God, stop, please God. And now we can say we're going to go home, but no. You know, I have to correct myself a lot. Maybe not a lot, but quite a bit. Whether it be at work, how I perform my job, or maybe the way I drive around town. Sometimes it's a little crazy and rude. I see some nods, heads nodding. But most recently, I was at home. This is during the hurricane that just came through. And one of my favorite teams was playing one of my least favorite teams. And they were not doing good. And my least favorite team was doing good. And somewhere along this weekend, Kelly tells me, you know, sometimes it doesn't feel like you like me very much. And I thought, oh, that kind of hurt me. I thought, okay, I'm doing something wrong. I need to do something to get it right. And I understood where she was coming from. My actions, my attitude was not displaying the love it should be. And in the book of Jeremiah, we're going to see Jerusalem, Judah, not treating God right. You know, we must show love, respect, attention, love like Jesus did. You know, this is a message that Jeremiah preached to the people of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 3, it says, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you." This isn't the first time, and this isn't the last time Israel is referred to God's bride. And we know the Bible says to wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Israel needs to be surrendered to the Lord. It continues to say, husbands, love your wives. And I'd apologize, but I already took care of that issue, so I'm good. So Israel needs to turn from their wrong ways or face God's judgment. Now, I'll tell you what, you do not want to face your spouse's judgment. Anybody feel it before? Mess up in a relationship? It ain't a good thing. But God loves Israel so much. You know, he prepared a way for them to turn, to change their ways. He prepared a way, and he does it for us. You know, even though we mess up, as it says in the Bible, but God commandeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet filthy, while we were doing wrong, while we were backsliding, God sent Jesus Christ to die for us. Now, don't get it wrong. God's not sending you to hell. God's not sending these people in the book of Jeremiah into captivity. They're already on their way there. We're already on our way to hell, but God loves us so much that he provided a way for us to be saved, to be redeemed. Yeah, even though we were sinners, awful, on our way to hell, God sent Jesus Christ to redeem us, to free us from an eternity of devastation, torment, and torture right now. You know, you don't have to wait. If you feel God convicting you, you can call out to him right now. You know, God's ears are open. His line from us to him is always open. You can set your heart right in an instant. Are we in Jeremiah chapter 20? Who remembers the page for the Scofield Bible? What did I say, Carolyn? 793 in your Scofield Bible. Amen. Now everybody wants one. I don't have one. Well, not here. Not here. Verse 1 in chapter 20. Let's read verse 1 and pray and just ask God to reveal his word to us right now. Now Pashur, the son of Amor, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. We're going to learn what Jeremiah prophesied, but let's pray right now and just ask God to grip our hearts in this moment. Father, we love you so much, and we just ask you to get a hold of our minds, get a hold of our hearts, and turn us to you right now. I know that I need to grow closer to you, and you have so much for me, so just change my life as I surrender to you. Guide your words today that folks will hear and listen and obey you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's this man, Pashur, the son of Emor the priest. He heard Jeremiah prophesying these things. So what on earth, if you're like me, you want to know what Jeremiah was prophesying. If you go back to chapter 18, God tells Jeremiah to go to this potter's house to watch the potter work. This potter, he made a vessel. And the Bible says it was marred. It was defective. It just wasn't quite right. So this potter redid this vessel. I'm just going to call it a bottle. This potter remade this bottle, and it was good. God continues to say, as this clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine. And at any instant, at what instant God could speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it up, to pull it down, and to destroy it. Just like that potter had to do, God can do the same thing to Jerusalem. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of that evil that I thought to do unto them. Just like you remember the story of Jonah when he finally went to Nineveh. He told these people, repent or you're going to be destroyed. And these people repented. Therefore, God repented the evil towards Nineveh. God continues to say, he can also build, plant any nation, or to bless that nation, to give abundance to it. Jeremiah prophesied these things. He prophesied what the Lord said. Judgment is coming. Return from your evil way. Make your ways good. Of course, they ignored it. God said he would bring evil upon that place because they had forsaken him. They've not only forsaken him, they were worshiping other idols. Idolatry was huge in their hearts. They rebuilt the altar of Baal. They did all sorts of just nasty sacrifices that wasn't godly. And after all the warning, God told Jeremiah, and I would love to watch Jeremiah preach, to take this earthen bottle, this vessel, and smash it on the ground. And that's a great picture to see, because as those pieces of that clay that the potter made shatters on the floor, that was just like Jerusalem. That was just like the people there. And they had that visual picture of what would happen to them. Of course, they just ignored that message. They didn't respond as needed. But Jeremiah gave that message. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house, and that's where Pashur heard this message. Now, this wasn't the first time that Jeremiah gave this message. He also gave it to a city before that. And I think Jeremiah liked the message so much and no one listened to him the first time. So then he went to the court of the Lord's house. Like, I'm going to do it again. Verse 2 of chapter 20. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. Pashur did not like the message, just like the whole town. So Jeremiah got beat. He got smote. He got hit. Not exactly how many times. We just know he was physically abused, and he was put in these stocks. Now, don't think these stocks are like the normal stocks. In the Strong's Concordance, it refers to something being distorted, uncomfortable. And he was there, as the Bible says, till tomorrow. So at least a day he was there. Now, if y'all are like me, if I sleep wrong on my pillow, I am uncomfortable, and I can't really move the next day, and it's an awful thing. I could imagine what Jeremiah was feeling after being stuck in those stocks. And all the people that walked by the Lord's house would just mock him, tease him, let all that excess energy just burn off on him. I could imagine he was feeling pretty awful, pretty terrible. It was a rough night. I bet you Pashur thought Jeremiah was going to come out of there like a dog with his tail tucked between its legs. Submissive, saying, okay, Pashur, you got this. I won't preach God's word anymore. We're going to hear what Jeremiah told Pashur. From verse 4 all the way to verse 6. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor Missabib. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will destroy all the strength of the city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, and take them, and carry them to Babylon. Oh, and in thou pasture, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity. And thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. How would you deliver that message? You're frustrated, you might be a little bit angry, and you're just telling these people off. I don't think that was Jeremiah's speech at all. I don't think he was frustrated, angry. You know, Jeremiah is known as a weeping prophet. He was very sorrowful. He loved Jerusalem. He loved the people. And God showed him exactly what's going to happen to them. I could imagine Jeremiah giving this message, tears going down his face, saying, repent. You know, Pashur, his name meant freedom. It was a good, generous name. But then, after Pashur did all that to Jeremiah, his new name was Magor Missabib. And the Bible says, terror on every side. I think that's a great picture of when Babylon was coming. And they surrounded that city. And they took them captive. You know, do we have that type of compassion for others, for those sinners that are lost? We know where they're going to end up. We know there's no presence of God there, and that's an awful place. Not to feel that little bit of light, not to feel that little bit of love from God, that torture, that torment for eternity. Do we have that compassion to go out and reach the unsaved, even though it might hurt us? We might be mocked. We might be beaten. In America, we're pretty easy. We don't get a whole lot of torment and torture. But words hurt. Keep that in your heart. What about not everyone in Jerusalem and of Judah were just unsaved and godly? There might have been a couple good ones there. But do we have that passion when our brothers or when our sisters are straying down the wrong road, as Jeremiah calls them, backsliders? Do we have compassion to tell them to turn from their ways? You know, Jeremiah was young. But God continued to guide him and direct him. In verse 7, Jeremiah was about ready to have enough. Jeremiah prays, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. And for since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the Lord, word of the Lord, was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. He's saying God tricked him. I can relate. Sometimes it feels like, all right, God told me to go work here, and I'm not being treated like I should. I'm not getting the rewards that I thought I would receive. You know, if we go back to chapter 1, when Jeremiah was a young man, maybe 17, the Bible doesn't give a exact age of Jeremiah. But he was a child, as the Bible says. Jeremiah said he couldn't speak But God would tell him what to speak. God would be with him, so he wouldn't have to fear. And know when we go out, God is with us, that we don't have to fear. God's going to give us words to speak. In verse 9 of chapter 1, God put his words in Jeremiah. In verse 10 of chapter 1, God set Jeremiah over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and plant. I think that's a pretty good job description. And I don't think that's what Jeremiah had going for him in chapter 20. I can see where he might have felt a little tricked, a little deceived, in derision daily. Yeah, Jeremiah was ridiculed. His unflinching faith was starting to flinch. God is one. The joke's on me. He's about ready to quit. He is discouraged and miserable right now. Verse 8. We talked about he spoke God's word. He tried to warn them of the judgment to come and all the violence to be faced. All their possessions were going to be taken. He spoke because God's word was a burden for him. He was made a laughingstock when he talked. He did what God told him to do when he was beaten. He was mocked. Nobody liked him. His family forsook him. His neighbors forsook him. The king forsake him. The priest forsook him. I could imagine what Jeremiah was facing. And as we get to verse 9, we're going to see a resignation letter from Jeremiah. Before we get to that, I want to just mention, this isn't the first time. In Shiloh, in chapter 7 of the book of Jeremiah, Jerusalem seen Shiloh become devastated. Shiloh was just about 20 miles north of Jerusalem. They used to worship God there. Now, it was where God set his name first, in Shiloh. But there's always people like Pashur the priest. Fake, telling lies, being deceived. Oh, it ain't going to be that bad. God loves us. He ain't going to do that to us. It ain't going to last that long. We're going to survive. We'll make it through. It ain't going to be that bad. People fall for it all the time. We can see it today. There's so many people deceived. Election time's coming by politicians. And let me tell you, Amendment 3, Amendment 4, there's so many people duped by that. Just vote no. I won't get into it. Folks are always deceived by them. God wants his people to know the truth. You know, even in the New Testament, people would not endure sound doctrine. People wouldn't listen to the truth. They would run off and just listen to false teachers. That's what Paul told Timothy. You know, we need to prepare for that. Are we prepared if someone stands in this pulpit and they're not reading the Word of God and they're translating to make them feel good, to make you feel good? I mean, I sure hope you feel good, but I hope it's a good conviction by God saying, turn. I hope you feel good when I'm reading God's Word because you know you can do better. You can surrender to Him. You know, people are running off preparing for hurricanes. And let me tell you, I just heard that Ron DeSantis didn't declare for the southern communities of Florida that the hurricane is going to be affecting them. So be prepared for that. I'm not saying don't prepare for a hurricane, but prepare because God is coming. It's on his calendar. You know, people run off and get crazy. There's a storm coming. But hey, God's coming, and that's a guarantee. Where are you at? Do you need to turn? These teachers are saying, we got time. Don't need to prepare right away. Jeremiah felt it, and he was done. He felt God's word. Verse 9 and 10, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side, report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we should take our revenge on him. Get the picture. Jeremiah preaches God's words. He's warning these people. He gets beat. He gets mocked. He gets tricked. So he says, I ain't doing it anymore. I'm done. I'm quitting. And it's so easy for us to just give up. But Jeremiah couldn't. There was a fire in his bones that had to let out. God's word. And oh, God's word. I'm going to turn real quick to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And I want to read exactly what God's word is. I know some might even have the scripture memorized. Hebrews 12, verse 4. Write it down. That is not where I'm going with this. All right, let me just tell you what it says. 4:12. Oh, then I'm just dyslexic up here. God's word is quick. It's alive. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of joints and marrow. God's word is alive, like it's in Jeremiah's heart. God's word is alive. You're right. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thought and intents of the heart. I think we see what Jeremiah's heart was. He faced a lot of tribulation. In verse 8, he spoke God's word. And he faced a lot of tribulation. The Bible says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. That text is in Romans chapter 5. I mean, go home and check that out. It continues to be great scripture. You know, that's another great part of God's word is the hope. I mean, each one of us has faced something of discouragement, of loss, of despair, of desolation. And when we go through that, it makes us stronger. You know, we could help our brothers and sisters out through that situation. And I know this story from Jeremiah has helped many. Whatever discouragement, heartbreak, loss, and hurt, God can use that to help someone. Don't quit. God loves you. That tough time will build patience and experience and hope. It may find someone who needs it. Don't quit. Sad thing, that burning fire in his bones. A lot of Christians are letting that fire just dwindle and go out. They don't see the spark outside of the church house. And we can see the effect that it's having on our country. That fire must have been hot. He had to let it out. Let it out, people. I think of another great man in this Bible. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 22, this man's name was Paul. He says, and now I go bound in the Spirit. Notice Spirit's a lowercase s, so it's his spirit. He's telling himself to go unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that might befall me. Now, the Holy Ghost said he'd be bound and afflicted there. But none of these things moved him. He was going to go. He was going to go to Jerusalem. He was going to share the gospel because God has given him that job. It was his ministry to share the gospel with Jesus. He had that fire in his bones. He had that compassion for the people. He had that fire, and sadly, it's dwindling down in America today. Oh, to feel the warmth of God in our hearts. Do we feel it? Do we feel that warmth? Don't let the fire go out. The last verse I want to read today in Jeremiah chapter 20 is verse 11. You know, we will prevail. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. You know, as God promised Jeremiah, he's always going to be with us. He's always going to be there. You know, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But catch this, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, capital S. We must walk after God. We must, as Israel, God's bride, not walk after the flesh, not walk after these ungodly pleasures in our lives. Jeremiah suffered because he loved God. He loved the people of Jerusalem. You know, we can relate to that so much. And we can give you more examples. Moses, he asked, who am I to go to Pharaoh? I'm a nobody. Elijah ran from God. He was depressed. He just wanted to end his life. Jeremiah was there too. Jonah, he ran from God. He tried to hide from God's presence. You know who Jesus Christ is? Yeah. The ones closest to him. The 11 that were still in that garden before Jesus was arrested. They fled and forsook him. Is there discouragement? Despair? I know a great part of life is the ability to start new. To start all over. You know, between all those people in the Bible, they all turned back to God. They all gave their lives to God. I remember Jesus was on the shore after he resurrected, and he says to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love Jesus Christ? Are you willing to go out there and reach those people, to have them turn from their ways, to really ignite that fire in your bones and serve him? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Let's just take a moment. Think about our life. Give it to God right now. I mean, we face so much hurt. We face so much loss in this life. It's a given. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I don't know what it is today, but I just hope that Holy Spirit inside you is guiding you and directing your life this morning. I pray that fires would be rekindled and all those tribulations would make some great experience for you and give you hope to continue on and to press on, to finish your course. And when we get to heaven, I hope to say, have God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't know what it is in your heart today, but now's the time. And if you don't know this awesome, mighty God that's willing to save you, all you have to do is put your faith in him. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Repent and turn from your evil, from your wrong ways. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you on that cross, that he rose again, to give you eternity with him. turn from your wrong ways and turn to Him and live. Heavenly Father, we love You so much. We thank You for Your word. We thank You that it's a burning fire in our bones. Just give us the desire to serve You, Father. Give us the desire to do more, that we could surrender, even through all the tough times that we may face. We may not understand it, but we know You are working all things out for Your good, Father. Guide us through this day and bring us back tonight with a passion for You, a passion to really show You how much we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.